Welcome to Peak Health, a radio show dedicated to empowering you to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you want. I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island at Fern Cove Natural Medicine. I'm dedicated to helping you uncover the root cause of your symptoms so that you can get back on the road to feeling well again.
And I'm Claire Denise, certified health and wellness coach and a personal trainer. Our show is going to bring you information to help you take charge of your health. We're going to cover topics like IBS, heartburn, thyroid disorders, autoimmune diseases, osteoporosis, nutrition, and lots more. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Claire.
How are you today?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. I'm enjoying your company.
Oh, good. I'm enjoying yours also.
Yeah, and we're here today with our listeners to discuss the second part of our talk on osteoporosis.
Yeah, there's a lot of information about osteoporosis, so we have to split it into two talks. So let's see. We're going to start off talking about some other risks.
Maybe you could recap just a little bit first.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I was going to recap.
That'd be a good idea for me anyway.
Last time we discussed, first of all, you know, who's more at risk, which is, of course, women. And we talked about the reasons, like they're hormonal and less bone mass and less muscle mass than men. But also that men are at risk, too, just usually at an older age. We also talked about conventional medicine and the bisphosphonate drugs, which are the standard treatment, and why they may not be the best idea for everybody, and just reasons for that. And then we also just talked about what to do to decrease your risk, making sure you're not getting enough calcium, making sure you have enough stomach acid, and paying attention to your diet, as, you know, that it's an alkalinizing diet versus acidifying. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that today. But and then also B vitamins are important, and vitamin C. And so those are the main points associated with, you know, what to do to decrease your risk.
From last talk.
Yeah, from last talk.
And I just wanted to reiterate that you told me something that made so much sense to me. It's not just for older women to pay attention to this.
Oh, right. Totally. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when we're actually in our 20s is when we reach the highest bone mass. And so we are able to build the most bone. And so I'd really encourage people who are at that age to, you know, implement these changes so that you can prevent osteoporosis. And yeah, so.
For sure. Oh, mm-hmm. Gosh.
Prevention is huge in so many diseases.
Well, I hadn't realized there were so many other risks that influenced the probability of getting osteoporosis.
Right.
That's what you're going to talk about now?
Yeah, we're going to talk about some more risks. Yeah. So the first one is genetics. And, you know, if you've had someone in your family that has osteoporosis, you may be at a higher risk for it. Although I do have to say that lifestyle and diet can play a huge role in overcoming that. And we're actually learning that now within the field of epigenetics. There's a lot of research showing that we can influence the expression of our genes with our lifestyle and our diet.
Fascinating.
Yeah, and it's very empowering because we don't have to be a victim of our genes. So, but if you do have, you know, family history, just to make sure that you are taking care of the other things that need to be done, the diet and the supplements and exercise. So the next thing is gastric bypass surgery. And so this is a surgery that some people have to help with weight loss. And it's actually where they surgically bypass part of the small intestine. So the small intestine is after our stomach. And the small intestine is actually where we absorb a lot of minerals and vitamins and macronutrients, protein, fat, and carbohydrates. And so with that surgery, we have less ability to absorb the nutrients that we need for strong bones, specifically minerals. And so if you are considering that, that's something to include in your, you know, decision as to you will have an increased risk of osteoporosis. And if you have had the surgery, just to be aware that you may need higher amounts of vitamins and minerals and of course, you know, to consult your doctor or your naturopath about that.
Really good to know.
Yeah. It's very interesting. And the next thing is kidney and liver disease. So the kidneys and the liver, those are two organs where vitamin D is actually activated. It starts with the skin, actually, which we can talk about a little bit later, but the skin and then the liver and then lastly the kidneys. So the vitamin D molecule undergoes some different activation steps. And so if you do have kidney or liver disease, you will have less amount of active vitamin D, which of course we need to absorb calcium and to have strong bones. And so one of the common conditions where this occurs is, here's a scientific word for you, non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. non-alcoholic steatohepatitis is the really formal name, but fatty liver disease is this slang term. And basically this occurs often in people with type 2 diabetes. And so if you do have type 2 diabetes, I recommend that you get screened for that so that you can, you know, address it if it's present.
Well, once again, it seems like it's sort of a domino effect and everything is affecting everything else.
Mm-hmm, absolutely, yeah. And that's, you know, part of the reason we're talking about all of this is that, and the title of the show is called Going Beyond Calcium, is that we are, you know, focusing just on calcium when there are so many other reasons for osteoporosis. And the reason, you know, one person has it can be totally different from the reason another person has it. So, yeah. Okay. So let's see. The next thing I was going to talk about was being sedentary. We know that exercise helps to stimulate bone building cells. These are the osteoblasts. We talked about that in the first show. So the osteoblasts are the cells that help to build bone. And so exercising stimulates these cells. And actually 15 to 20 minutes of brisk walking per day has been shown to increase bone mass. And so just doing a simple walk, you know, a daily walk can actually be very helpful for keeping your bones strong. And
strength training is helpful for that as well.
Absolutely. Strength training strengthens the muscles and
the muscles pull on the bones.
Right.
So the bones say, hey, we better stay dense.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, just going back to the fact that our society is pretty sedentary and we have to, you know, make effort to get out there and move our bodies. It's really important for our health, including the strength of our bones. Okay. The next thing is lack of sunshine. And I know we live in, you know, the dark Pacific Northwest where we don't get a lot of sun, especially in the winter. But when we can, making sure that we're getting 20 to 30 minutes of sun per day, it can actually give you a boost of 10,000 IUs or international units of vitamin D. And, you know, unfortunately we're told that being in the sun is bad for us. And of course, you know, excessive amounts and getting burned is definitely not good for us. But a small amount, 20 to 30 minutes, you know, less maybe if you have really sensitive skin, you burn easily. Because you don't want to be wearing sunscreen when you're doing this. You won't actually be making the vitamin D if you're wearing sunscreen. So, yeah.
So how do you know whether you have enough vitamin D?
Good question. Mm-hmm. I recommend that you get your levels checked. The ideal level is 50 to 80 nanograms per milliliter. And your typical reference range on your lab report will say maybe 10 to 100 or 30 to 100. But ideal means what's best for you, is 50 to 80 nanograms per milliliter. And if you're not in that ideal range, I do recommend you take vitamin D3. And of course, ask your doctor, consult with your doctor about it. And just keep in mind that if you don't have enough vitamin D in your body, you're not going to absorb the calcium adequately. So you can take all the calcium you want, but you're not going to absorb it without proper vitamin D levels.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Vitamin D is showing up everywhere.
It is. It is involved with so many things, you know, not just your bones. Involved with immunity, which immunity is huge for things like cancer and autoimmune diseases. So it's really important to make sure you have adequate vitamin D, not only for your bones. The next thing is medications. So there are certain medications that can cause weakness in your bones. One of them is anticonvulsants. So these medications are usually given for epilepsy, and of course they are necessary for that. But if you are taking them, just to make sure that you are doing other things to keep your bones strong, you know, eating the right foods and taking the right supplements and doing the exercise. And also chronic opioid therapy, which is basically painkillers. These have been shown to decrease bone mass, as well as glucocorticoid drugs. So these are medications such as prednisone and steroids. So steroids are problematic for bone mass. And so in general, these medications should be used short term. I mean, sometimes they are necessary, but they should be used short term and not long term. If they're used long term, they're going to decrease your bone mass and put you at high risk for osteoporosis. As well, another medication is proton pump inhibitors. So these are acid blocking medications for people, usually prescribed for people who have reflux.
Purple pill?
Yes, yes. In fact, some of them are available over the counter now, which is kind of dangerous, in my opinion. And let's see. So this also includes Tums and other over-the-counter antacids, because what these medications are doing is they're decreasing the amount of stomach acid, and they are decreasing our absorption of minerals.
You know, I remember hearing that you could just pop a couple Tums and have some extra calcium.
Yeah.
So evidently that was not true.
That is kind of backwards, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm taking Tums for calcium. So, well.
These are a lot of risks, well, you know, long list.
That's why we're talking about this, to educate people, because it's just, you know, we want people to know the truth and understand what they're doing when they're taking some of these over-the-counter things. Okay, so the next thing is smoking. And obviously we know smoking is bad for us, but you may not know it contributes to osteoporosis. So two of the things in cigarettes, cadmium and nicotine, actually contribute to osteoporosis. Cadmium is a heavy metal, and there's a relationship with cortisol and cadmium, and it actually, cadmium prevents the inactivation of cortisol. So we will have higher levels of cortisol in our blood when we have cadmium in our body.
And that's a stress hormone, right?
It is a stress hormone, which we know stress is not good for us, but also the high cortisol contributes to decreased bone mass. It's kind of like the steroid medication that we just talked about. Steroids, cortisol, same thing. Being on a steroid medication decreases bone mass. So that's the cadmium. And then nicotine, that actually suppresses osteoblast activity. And again, from the last show, we talked about osteoblasts are cells that help us build bone. So nicotine decreases the osteoblast activity. So we're not able to make as much bone. So, but there is some good news in this, in that if you do smoke, that after you quit, you can easily start to regain bone again.
Well, that's good news.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Absolutely. It's not too late.
Yeah, I'd always heard that once it was gone, it was gone.
No. So
good news. Mm-hmm. Sort of like we can now create new brain cells too, right?
Right.
I used to think one beer, you lost 200 brain cells.
Is that what it is?
It used to be a long time ago.
Okay. So the last thing as far as risks that I'm going to talk about is alcohol.
Speaking of beer.
Yeah. So it's actually dose dependent. It's been shown that 1 to 2 drinks per day can actually be beneficial, specifically beer and wine. Beer contains silicone, which contributes to bone health, while wine has phytochemicals that have an estrogenic effect. So if you remember from the last show, we talked about estrogen is protective for our bones, and that estrogen inactivates the osteoclasts, which are the cells that break down the bone. And so when we drink wine that has phytochemicals, it has an estrogenic effect. So we're inhibiting the osteoclasts. Hmm. So, and then, you know, excessive alcohol has been linked to poor bone health. So we want to make sure it's dose dependent, 1 to 2 drinks per day.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind. But after this sort of lengthy list of things that contribute to the possibility of having osteoporosis, how do you know?
Well, that's the unfortunate part, is that you won't really know. It's actually called the silent disease, because the first warning sign may be a broken bone, or it could be the DEXA scan result that you get when you go to your doctor.
DEXA scan?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So it's DEXA. DEXA scan is what's the conventional recommendation for women at age 65 and sometimes sooner if you have a higher risk of osteoporosis. And so you get a score, and let's see, -2.5 or lower, which when I say lower, I mean like -3.5 or -4.5. Though that is considered osteoporosis, whereas -1.5 to -2.5 is osteopenia. So on the way to osteoporosis. And so, you know, that may be the first time that you actually learn that your bones are at risk, unfortunately. So that's why it's important to implement all these lifestyle things to prevent it.
To me, it really sounds like there's some potential for preventing it without taking medications or too many supplements, at least as much as you can with lifestyle and doing it naturally.
Right.
To keep your bones strong. Can you talk about that a little more?
Yeah, totally. So obviously we talked about calcium and vitamin D, but there's so many other vitamins that are important for strong bones, and I feel like they're overlooked. Vitamin K, particularly vitamin K2. And then we talked about vitamin C and the B vitamins, but also minerals, boron, magnesium, phosphorus, zinc, manganese, copper, silicon, molybdenum, and selenium. So it's quite a long list.
It sure is.
Yeah. So I want to talk a little bit more about vitamin K. So there's vitamin K1 and vitamin K2. There's two forms. And
isn't that for clotting too?
It is for clotting, yes. Yeah, so vitamin K2 is the form of vitamin K that helps us to put calcium into the bones, not into the arteries. Remember I talked about too much supplemental calcium has been shown to have an increased risk of heart disease. So the vitamin K2 is actually protective against heart disease, because it helps deposit the calcium into the bones and not the arteries. And the other form, vitamin K1, is something that we can get from leafy greens. And what happens is our gut bacteria convert the K1 into vitamin K2. And there aren't very many sources of actually vitamin K2 that we can eat. One of them is called natto. I'm not sure if I'm saying that correctly, but it's a Japanese fermented soybeans. And it's not very palatable. It's slimy and has a pungent flavor, and it's actually usually really not available here in this country.
Doesn't sound all that great.
No. It's although I have met people who lived in Japan who ate it and liked it. So, but it's not really available here. And so, unfortunately, we can't really get the vitamin K2 from foods. And so we have to depend on our gut bacteria to do a good job. And if someone has gut problems, you know, maybe an imbalance of bacteria in their gut, then I, you know, would recommend to supplement. And so,
as well as eating leafy greens.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't recommend everyone supplements with vitamin K2, but definitely if you have osteopenia or osteoporosis, that is something important. And I would talk to your naturopathic doctor about finding a good supplement.
Like you, Dr. Lisa.
Yes. Yeah, sure.
Taking a quick break here, just to remind you that we're listening to KVSH. This is Peak Health with Dr. Lisa and Claire DeNice, and it's 101.9 FM, Voice of Vashon.
Great.
Today we're talking about osteoporosis, in case you just tuned in.
Yeah, so I'll just continue on with our, you know, strong bones for life, naturally, how things that we can do naturally. So we talked about the vitamins and minerals. And then the diet, again, is huge. And we talked about this last show about the acid diet and the alkalinizing diet. And so we want to have an alkalinizing diet so we're not leaching minerals from our bones. And how we can do that is eating fresh fruits and vegetables, and making sure that we're eating lots of those. And then other parts of diet that are healthy is, you know, eating wild caught fish, not farm raised, and then pasture raised eggs, pasture raised meats, nuts and seeds, whole grains, and extra virgin olive oil. And then, you know, if tolerable for you, would be 1 to 2 4-ounce servings of red wine. Of course, not for everybody. If you have liver disease, you don't want to be drinking alcohol, and consulting your doctor if you have any questions about that. But, you know, it has been shown that the wine is helpful.
Does red wine also have something called resveratrol in it? It's in the skins of the grapes or something?
Yes, it's an antioxidant.
Yeah.
It's good for, yeah.
Keeping us from rusting.
Right. You can put it that way, I guess.
Making a case for drinking red wine.
Yes, it's good.
In moderation.
Exactly. Everything in moderation.
Yeah. And, I think I was going to mention, too, that when I was nursing one of my babies years ago, I drank a beer every day. And it was supposed to be good for my milk and also for, it had riboflavin in it. So there's a B vitamin source.
Yeah. Great.
Little humor here.
Yes. So I do want to say that organic fruits and vegetables is best. And the reason for that is because there's more minerals usually in these fruits and vegetables. The soils have been taken care of better, and there's more minerals in the soil. And that's actually where the plants get all the minerals that feed us, that strengthen us, is from the soil. And so
Lisa, we have heard of the Dirty Dozen, which are the fruits and vegetables that you should for sure try to buy organic, assuming your budget allows.
Right.
And then there's the Clean 15. Are you saying that even the Clean 15 fruits and vegetables would actually be better organic because of the minerals from the soil?
Yes, I do think so. I mean, of course, if you're on a budget, it's okay to, eat the non-organic forms of the Clean 15. But if you can, and especially if you have osteoporosis, I think it's important to, or any chronic health condition, I think it's important to eat the organic forms of even the Clean 15.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Yeah, of course. Okay. So the last thing is exercise. So here we're just talking about, how to have strong bones for life naturally. And so we talked about the vitamins, and then we talked about the diet, and now we're talking about exercise. And, physical activity, again, stimulates the osteoblasts, which, build bone. And there's been studies that show that actually physical activity increases our bone width and also helps our bones be able to absorb minerals more readily.
Bone width?
Yeah, bone width. Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is bone strength, really.
So the wider, the stronger.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. I would also mention that exercise strengthens your muscles, which helps to, keep us in balance, steady our balance, and prevents us from falling, which is a huge part of osteoporosis.
Yeah, balance-wise, it doesn't usually say goodbye when it leaves. So as we get older, it's good to pay attention to balance. Mm-hmm. I know that some of the various forms of yoga and some of the equipment at the local gym where I work as a personal trainer, they have some equipment where you can practice balancing.
Yeah.
But a really simple, easy thing is put a piece of masking tape down a center of hallway in your house and try to walk on the masking tape.
Oh, okay.
It's just a really simple, easy little thing. And you can always use the hallway walls if you feel like you're going to tip over. But it just reminds you to periodically practice your balance.
Yeah, that sounds great. I love that. Simple things. Okay, so in talking about exercise, it should be what we call dynamic, not static. So that means it must involve movement as well as gravity. So as an example, swimming is not very beneficial for building bone because there's no gravity involved in there. I mean, it's good for aerobic exercise, and you could argue it's good for your muscles, so muscles pull on the bones and strengthen them. But ideally, if you have osteopenia or osteoporosis, I would do walking instead.
Well, I just want to say about walking, I've had a client who had a lot of foot problems, and so I put him on a bicycle.
Okay.
So that he's, you know, using the muscles, and periodically he would stand up and ride standing up for a little bit of higher impact.
Yeah.
But not so much that it hurt his feet.
Great. Yeah. Little changes like that can make a big difference.
Yeah. And I think another thing you could do is just vary the type of cardiovascular activity you do. If you're a runner, sometimes you might get on a bike or on the elliptical or do a rowing machine. Mm-hmm. You could even do like a little mini try, 10 minutes of each.
Yeah.
Indoor activities sometimes aren't as much fun as outdoor.
It's
so
true.
Changing it around a lot uses the muscles slightly differently and keeps you from getting bored.
Totally. Cool. The next thing I was going to say about exercise is that you want it to be sufficient intensity. So you want a brisk walk. You don't want to take a leisurely stroll. Well, you can take a leisurely stroll if you want to, but it's not going to be as beneficial for your bones as the brisk walking is, which you get more of an impact of your bones on.
Yeah, you might have to take your dog for a walk and then go for your own walk.
Well, yeah, I guess so. Or you could just make your dog get some good exercise too.
One time I thought someone was going to go walking with me that would sort of slow me down, and it turned out she was a race walker and I could barely keep up. So I've learned about, you know, leisure, taking the dog for a walk, and, you know, sort of grading yourself on how fast you're going, slow, medium, and fast and extra fast.
Uh-huh.
The variety of speeds is also good. I think you were going to mention something about that, I think, weren't you?
Yeah, yeah. So just that brief and intermittent exercise, you know, is actually shown to be better. A couple of shorter, intense exercises during the day versus, you know, doing a couple hours at the gym 1 to 2 days a week. It's better to just do it every day and do some short, you know, a couple different short intense walks or exercises.
Well, this has been really good, Lisa. I've gotten a lot of information out of this.
Wait, I wasn't done though.
Oh,
one more
thing.
Just making sure to vary the exercises. You know, don't do the same pattern over and over. You want to do things that are going to challenge your muscles and bones so that you wake them up and get them strong. So that's all now I was going to say about exercise. But yeah. Do you have any final thoughts that you want to?
Well, I was going to launch right into them prematurely.
Okay,
sorry about
okay.
that. I just think that instead of feeling overwhelmed about osteoporosis or anything health-wise that you're trying to work on, is just to use my mantra, if you will, better choices more often and doing the best you can, and just keep continuing to improve in the direction you'd like to go.
Absolutely.
Just recognizing that lifestyle things don't cost anything, and every little bit helps, and it does add up.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree totally. Yeah, and I just want to encourage our listeners to, you know, work on making those, implementing those things. And that's something that you actually work with people on with, right, Claire?
I do, as a personal trainer and also as a coach.
Mm-hmm.
If you wanted some support or help with that, you could check my website. It's positiveaging.com with a hyphen between the two words.
Okay, great. So I think we are going to sign off for today. And I'm Lisa Morse, naturopathic physician on the island. And if you're interested in finding support for your osteoporosis, you can send me a message by going to my website, ferncovenaturalmedicine.com.
And I'm Claire Denice, as I mentioned, a health coach and a personal trainer.
Yeah, this is Peak Health Radio Show, where we're dedicated to educating and inspiring you, our listeners, to take back control of your health so that you can have the freedom to live the life that you desire. Thanks for listening. Until next time, remember to take care of your body. It's the only one you have.